Welcome to United Voices, the podcast where we dive into the heart of community impact here in Waterloo Region. Today, we have a very special guest, CEO of United Way Waterloo Region Communities, Joan Fisk. Joan has dedicated her career to strengthening our local community and championing collaboration across the nonprofit sector. I'm lucky to work with Joan on a daily basis, and I often wish I was recording our conversations so I could share her insight and passion for helping community. In today's conversation, I decided to do just that. Under Joan's leadership, United Way has amalgamated two local offices, adapted funding processes in response to community need, and worked to engage community members at all levels to build a stronger, more resilient community. Joan, it's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to United Voices.
Well, thank you, Jill. I'm delighted to be here.
We've had four really awesome episodes already, and it's really exciting as a way to share the stories of all the people that we work with. But what we wanted to do with having you on was get the voice of United Way's CEO, also as part of this very important United Voices base, and, you know, share some of the cool things that I've learned about you since I started working here.
Well, a funny thing about my career, if you could call it that early beginning, was Tiger Brand was a family business. And my father took it over in 1954 and renamed it Tiger Brand from the Galt Knitting Company, because Tiger Brand was the brand of men's underwear. In the early days, men's underwear was wool. But by the time the 50s came around, cotton had entered into the world of underwear. And my father started a business related to men's underwear. I came along as part of the you must work at the factory just because you are learning how to sweep the floor at age 5, 6, and 7, where we would get paid one bottle of pop. We thought that was the best thing ever. But as the world changed and the business grew, Galt Knitting Company had evolved into this much more different fashion-forward organization. Started making goods, clothing for early startups, which was Fairweather and a bunch of other different names. But anyway, in the meantime, Thrifty's, which was a single store on Queen Street, downtown Toronto, was Thrifty's Riding and Tack Shop. But they sold Levi's. And Levi jeans were in the 60s bursting out as clothing that came out of the barn and out of the workwear onto the streets. And with it came a t-shirt. And the end of the 60s launched this whole generation of more casual clothing. Jeans became a statement. You had to have jeans. They had to be worn out. They had to be wide and baggy. With it came the sweatsuit and the sweatshirt. It came out of the gym. It was actually used in training for the troops in the war. So fleece-lined underwear was what they wore, and that's what it was. And this became the training suit for a brand called Vic Tanny's. What came out of that was a little company in Montreal called Le Chateau, where that first sweatsuit was made. And then that was starting to get a little bit way different than we were able to make. And we had this fabric left over. And I had this idea to create something with this fabric. And along came this fellow who needed some clothing for his store, which was really riding boots and a few other things. And I said, well, how about we develop this thing called Cotton Ginny? So we did. And then that was in 1978. And on my career started, I was pattern maker, designer. And I learned from that very early on how to take something that was different and turn it into something else. By 1984, I started a brand called Nonfiction. And the company had grown through that, those two brands, and many, 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 many private labels. And there were many things that came out of that, but it was also an interesting company. It grew to 5 different plants, over 1,000 people. But it was actually one of the most challenging things when I became president in 1988 at age 37. And that was also a shock to the system, not just for the people that worked there, particularly the truck driver who said he ain't working for no woman, right down to the family itself. It was a real shock. I was one of 6 children with 3 sisters and 2 brothers. So it was quite a change in how that was directed, and also the only female leader that they had had. That started to be a transition for me and my life, but it also opened up opportunities for me to be on boards. So I was invited to join the Gore Mutual Board. So that worked out as a really interesting role, which I had for 17 years. I also sat on the hospital board, on the symphony board, on Laurier board, on Conestoga's board, on a myriad of other boards and trade shows and task force, things like that along the way. And what I learned from that was that's giving back. Mm-hmm. That's about being a volunteer. And that's what United Way is all about. And it kind of goes full circle. The Tiger brand actually ran a United Way campaign. And what it taught me was giving isn't hard. United Way had a model that was a little bit from a lot of people, made a big difference. And that's a model we still use today. A little bit from a lot of people makes a huge, huge impact. And my job here at United Way is to help guide this organization to be more and more known and to be understood as a real driver of economic prosperity and safety in the communities that we serve. So that's what excites me about my job currently, and to develop a team of leaders. This is an organization that is meant to develop leaders through mentorship, through model behavior, through knowledge transfer, all kinds of things like that.
One of the things that I wasn't aware of, sort of in your move from Tiger Brand to United Way, you led the KW Chamber of Commerce.
I did
some really amazing things there as well.
Well, when Tiger Brand was sold, I chose not to continue with that direction. So I took a contract job with Disney in California for a short, I think it was about 4 months, where I helped them build a brand called Pretty Tough.
Oh.
It was for young girls playing baseball. And then I worked with Ann Taylor to do their factory store, beginning of their factory stores, because we had so many factory stores at Tiger Brand and I understood that world. Then I was offered a job in Canada and I was really tired of traveling. I traveled with my career so much that I was really ready to not get on a plane every other day. So I took a job as the CEO, president and CEO, I guess they called it, at the Chamber of Commerce for Kitchener-Waterloo, of which I knew nothing about. There were 12 people that worked there. I walked into an organization that was not ready for me in any way. And again, I saw that this was a gender-based change in that women leading chambers of commerce was not common.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did do is help clean it up and organize it in a way that made me feel that when I exited that organization, that it was in good hands and it's still in the same hands with Ian McLean. And from that role, I was the chair of the LIN. So the Local Health Integration Network, which was for Waterloo Wellington, is the health service funding organization. So I understood about funding service and what was needed. And I also knew where there were real gaps in our health service funding. And then I chaired all of the LINs across the province for 2 years, of which there were 14. So that was mostly in Toronto. And when I was finishing that role, just before I was finished that role, I was approached by the chair of the board of the Cambridge United Way, Frank Voss, who's now the president of Toyota North America, and the chair at the time of Kitchener-Waterloo to address their board and talk about issues in our communities and what future leadership would look like. They were looking for a leader. They'd had quite a few applications, but they hadn't landed where they wanted to. So I had a chat with them, of which they asked me as I was leaving if I thought maybe I'd like the job. Of which I said, I'm still working. And no, I really was never even thinking about that job. However, Mr. Voss was very influential and he convinced me that this is something that I should do. And he landed on that it was needed and that he looked at my sense of care and help to the community. And I said, all right, just for a few years. That was 6 years ago. But United Way has gone through lots of changes. And what I love about the changes that we've made is that out of all of the crises, as you would say, we have risen in a different capacity. The pandemic still has long-reaching problems for us as a community and as a society, but it's also opened up lots of ideas about what we can do to help. It's changed the way we thought,
mm-hmm.
and we have more changes to come.
I mean, I think it's really interesting to have the corporate background, the community background, and then now be leading this really important unifying nonprofit in our community. And one of the things that we've often talked about is how nonprofits are expected to function,
yes,
like a for-profit with a nonprofit budget. And I'd love to hear you share a bit of your perspective on that.
Well, nonprofits are an interesting commodity. There are many, many nonprofits. Hospitals are nonprofits. Universities are nonprofits. So we compete in a world of talent that actually can accommodate better salaries than we can in our little charity world. Charities are a different part of the nonprofit sector. And what we do is we provide services and support in their communities, whether it's our community, whether it's a health community, whatever the community is, to give a leg up, a hand up. So that's what a charity is meant to do. And it was started in its early days, mostly through churches. you know, that was the giving back or the doing good for the community and helping the community support and survive by people that could. It's evolved now to a very important part of the economy. Without nonprofits, charities, and many other things that are, that get done in the world, we wouldn't have a robust economy like we do. There are multiple people employed in nonprofit across North America, not just here, across the world. General public wonders, well, if it's nonprofit, we shouldn't pay our employees. We shouldn't have the same kind of societal support as we might for a for-profit or even for a university. Well, that's not the case. We need smart, very talented people, and you can't retain talent without proper compensation. But that's not the whole thing. You need a bigger, rounder thing around comp. It is more about caring, about being part of something that matters. I often say working at United Way is a purpose-filled job. This is something that grabs us all. And you have to have a sliver of that to work in this kind of sector. So when I think about why I work in a nonprofit, partly is because what it gives us all back. And my pride is building a team here that will continue way beyond me and will lead the community, continue to lead the community with the strategy that we have, that we are, in fact, that one cog of many parts of this wheel that matter. That without us, there would be a very difficult hole that would be very difficult to fill. So United Way plays this most important role, and we want the community to know us. So partly podcasts like this and the work that you do, this is the work that tells the story. It's important to tell the story, because without that level of communication, we can't convince anybody that we're worth it, and we are more than worth it.
Well, and I can share the complication of telling the story, because we have thousands of stories to share. I mean, I know our last year number was we funded 76 unique local nonprofits. And within those, each one has so many stories. So that's part of why we want to use this podcast to get their voices. One last point I want to talk about, as I say, 76 organizations. I've been here a quarter of the time that you have at United Way. So just starting my third year. And one of the things that's really amazed me is the number of people that I've met because of the workplaces we collaborate with, the partnerships that we have with local governments, and then all of the incredible nonprofit leaders, workers, people that benefit from the services. It's, if you could speak to the synergy of collaboration, because that really is one of those key factors of United Way.
The synergy of collaboration is a really good way to say it, because it, in fact, it is that. I talk about it as a cog in a wheel, but it's a very similar idea, because it doesn't have a start and a finish. It's a wheel. It turns around because one thing leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another. So it's a very long-tailed support. What United Way is meant to do is it's meant to support people and a place in community, a place to be, a safe place to be. And there's other organizations that help us in lots of different ways. But in our case, we're very centered on the concept of inequity. This is something we strive to change, knowing we won't fix it, but we strive to make a difference, an impact. United Way is an impactful organization that says we are impacting people's lives outside this organization and inside this organization. We want to be a place to gather. We have a boardroom that's used constantly by our community in there, where they're sharing their ideas for growth and strategy to make us a better place. So that's another thing that we add to the community. We add this community voice, this hub of coming together in a way that will make all of us a little finer and richer. Not money richer, but mind richer.
Any kind of final words that you'd like to offer, Joan?
First of all, I think that listening to a podcast and whoever is listening to this, thank you. Thank you for giving that time and that energy to listening to something that's really important in the community but doesn't get known enough. So we are very unknown in many circles, but we are known where it matters, and we want to extend that. And that's the kind of thing that these kinds of stories will help tell you. Why, how on earth did anybody that got involved in the textile manufacturing business end here? Because I could, because I can, and it's my delight to do so.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the United Voices podcast.
with United Way Waterloo Region Communities CEO, Joan Fisk, whose leadership and compassion continue to make a lasting impact in our community. Moving forward, we'll be releasing a weekly episode, alternating between sharing the stories of our funded partners and conversations with other collaborators who help to drive positive change. Do you have a story to share with our community? We'd love to bring you into the United Voices conversation. United is the way we create solutions to the biggest challenges facing our region. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.